And now, it's time for the Yacht Club Show with Killer, Rev D, Dr. Jim, and Coach.
Welcome back, listeners. It's been a few weeks. Good to be back in the studio. I'm feeling good. It's got the senior discount at Kirby's.
Okay.
And, you know, because of this Trump economy, I just turned around and gave the waitress a bigger tip.
Oh,
I can afford to do that.
Share it with the people.
Whoa.
Elizabeth Warren would be very happy with you.
But more on Trump later.
Yeah. We got to talk about Trump today.
Yeah. How you doing, Rev D?
I'm doing good. I took Janet, our oldest daughter, to the airport. Drove from the airport to here to the studio. I'm telling you, I always feel so very cosmopolitan when I'm at the airport.
Really?
I do. I expect to see the Queen or something. I feel, you know, Jim gives me a hard time about travel or lack of travel.
Yeah. You're not a big international
I'm not a big national traveler.
No, you're not a big national traveler.
I'm not a traveler at all. But, you know, I go out there and I feel like I kind of fit. You know, I'm kind of in with the travelers.
With the movers and the shakers.
Yeah. You know, you see everybody in there. I expect to see Queen Elizabeth or somebody coming out there.
See,
you know, I get excited.
Yeah, I get that.
I get excited.
So
you know what it is? It's the smell of the jet fuel.
getting high.
I'm getting a buzz off of that.
Oh, man. Yeah, I actually think that's pretty good, because I would have thought if you got close to the airport, you'd start to get really, really nervous.
You know, when I get out of the car, when I'm carrying my bags to the terminal, that's when I get, do I really want to do this?
Yeah, but I thought you might have a flashback from when that happened last time.
No, I just, it's probably, you know what? I probably have a sense of relief that I'm just dropping somebody off.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm leaving. I'm not going myself.
Yeah. It's like somebody else getting a ticket and you just moved your car.
That's it.
Are you a white knuckle? Flyer?
No, flying doesn't.
It's just the very concept of leaving.
No, it's Lee. You know what it is?
Leaving his wife. Leaving Kay for
no,
a while.
Even
not
if,
even
not
Kay.
Even if she, even no. she's with me. It's, you know what it is? It's not sleeping in my own bed.
Yeah.
That's the whole. Now, I'd go to Ireland in a minute. If I could be home that night.
Oh. maybe you could take a blankie with you. That might work.
That could work. Well, you know what I'm really expecting when the AR gets really good. I'm just going to get some glasses and I'll visit all these places.
Oh, augmented reality.
Yeah. I just sit in my living room and do all these things and get some. I go to Ireland, buy some Guinness, and some Guinness.
I've been to the Eiffel Tower that way.
Have you?
Oh yeah. You know, I slipped on a pair of those Google. I forget what they're called now, but next thing I know, I'm looking up at the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
Right there. I'm under it.
Yeah,
I can walk right under it.
That's good enough
awesome.
For me.
Yeah,
that'll be.
So you'll never have to travel.
Yeah,
you can say I've been to Ireland.
Been
today.
There, saw
Went
it.
To Ireland
been
today.
There, done that. You know, I'm
so,
good.
So you're
gonna have to do it though. You're gonna have to get in a cold, damp room though when you're doing it.
Ah, okay. Good,
you gotta have
good,
the atmosphere.
Oh, you
good
have
point.
The atmosphere has.
That's
to
right.
Be, yeah, match
yep.
the,
good point.
Match the scenery.
So maybe I'll just leave the windows open.
Yeah,
and do it on a 60-degree day.
On a damp 60. That's the summertime.
Okay. Well, that's, I'm only going in the summer, so.
But it's raining.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll watch it in the shower.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Cold shower.
Cold shower.
We figured it out.
That would be it.
Yep. Ever helpful with our suggestions.
Well, yeah.
So you see all these people in the airport with their iPads and, speaking of iPads, what is that, Jim? That's like a 1.0, I think, right?
Yeah, well, that's the old one.
What do they call that? The BC, what would the iPad BC be, you know, when they use the, what was that, math?
The tablet.
Fred Flintstone.
The
but I was thinking that when you had the little balls. What do they call that?
Abacus or whatever?
Yeah,
or
you know.
That's
kind of reminds me of that.
It does.
Looking at Jim's iPad
This one's only black and white.
So what happened?
Well,
Dr. Jim?
I have this one for a particular reason, which I won't. Well, I'll tell you maybe later if we have time. But I went and I got a new iPad. What an experience that was!
Where did you go first? The Apple Store?
I went to the Apple Store.
Okay, well.
Well, first of all, let me tell you what happened.
Talk to a genius.
Yeah. I had...
genius talking to a genius.
There we go.
Ooh.
Very zen-like.
Yeah, very zen.
I like that.
Very zen-like, Dr. Jim. It's a genius talking to a genius.
Only one of us thought the other one was a genius, though.
Let me guess.
So what happened?
So anyway, the old iPad, which is pretty old. It's like Generation 3. I can't even upgrade the software. Oh, okay. And
it's had seen better days.
Yeah, but I just don't get rid of stuff. I still got socks from high school. My second car is a 1999 Chrysler Sebring.
You still have that?
Yes, I do.
It's probably in mint condition, knowing you.
Not bad. It's not bad. Yeah. It's got a little bit of, it's showing a little rust around the rims.
Convertible, right?
Aren't we all?
Convertible, yeah. Well, it's kind of.
I remember that very well from the softball days.
Well, you know what's interesting? You always know it's Dr. Jim.
How's that?
Well, in the neighborhood, you see the Sebring, the convertible.
Oh, yeah.
Sebring convertible.
No one else is driving a convertible.
Got to be Dr. Jim.
And Novi, anyway. Yeah.
That's bad, because then people see me going through the stop sign. They know who it is.
That's true, too.
So
good and bad.
Anyway, so I dropped the iPad, my old iPad, and the screen cracked. It had like this spider web pattern on it, you know. So I took it to this third-party shop to get it fixed. Mm-hmm. So they replaced the screen, and it cost me about $100. And, I figured if I took it to Apple, it would be about $200. And I said, oh, okay. So I figured I beat Apple out of $100.
You saved yourself $100.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then I got home, and, it's...
The quality. You get
the quality. The touch,
for.
It's all touch screen, right?
Yeah.
So the touch is off. So.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
So it's not... It's like it's functional, but it's annoying. Couple that with the fact that I can't get any updated versions of the apps, or if I see another app that I'm interested in, I couldn't get it.
It's time to upgrade.
So I bought the bullet, and I went to the Apple Store. Okay? Now, I just went there. I walked in, and I said, excuse me, I just want to get an iPad.
Good luck with that.
Oh, really?
Did he rub his hands together?
He said,
come here, you've come to the right place.
Motion. Yes. Reeling in motion.
We do that. Which one do you want? I want, the iPad. It's like, it's an iPad, right? It's like a small thing. It's about yay by yay. It's thin and, you sell those things, right? He says, yes, actually, yes, we do. We sell several of them. So I says, well, I don't know what one I want. So then they start talking Egyptian to me. And
they probably do that just to test the waters. All right.
Yeah.
Just on the techie jargon to see if I can snow.
With the
am I talking to another genius?
Yeah.
But they found it very quickly.
So I walked in there, and they have like one table where you kind of go to get directed.
Right.
And there's a guy at the table who's probably, he looked like he was probably my age.
Okay? Oh, really?
Yeah. They have a couple of... shall we say...
Seasoned?
Pre-owned.
Pre-owned geniuses?
Pre-owned geniuses.
Pre-driven. Driven pretty hard.
That's right.
Put away wet geniuses.
Some antique geniuses.
There you go.
So this antique genius is there. When I walked up to him and I said, look, I'm looking for... Well, first of all, I said to him, hey, who do I see about getting this repaired? He says...
He laughed.
No, he said, He said, what do you want to get done with it? And I said, well, I replaced the screen. I broke it and it cracked, the screen cracked, and I had the screen replaced. He said, did you have it done here? I said, well, no. It's like, oh. I don't think we can help you. It's like, you've
committed a sin.
You've like... completely voided your right to walk into the store.
Yeah,
you blasphemer.
Almost did. Yeah,
so I found him to be rather annoying. So I just stick with the young kids now. The young kids look at me and feel sorry for me and try to make me happy. So you sought out another younger genius. So I got a genius named Ish.
Ish.
Ish, for Ishmael.
Okay.
Okay.
Because
call me
Ish.
Ishmael.
Call me Ish.
Call me Ish.
Call me Ish.
So I was going to make a Moby Dick crack, but I wasn't sure if it was, if the genius had time to read literature. So, any event, I talked to him, and so we started going through the various iPads and the various differences between the various iPads, and it's real interesting the way they kind of stare you. I said, this is we have a basic iPad, because I didn't want to get a small one. I know you like the small ones. I didn't want to get a small one. Figured if I'm getting one on a screen that I can, you know, see. So Ish was showing me the various models, and I was telling him, you know, kind of what I was looking for.
And he asked you, what do you do on it?
No, yeah, what do you want to do?
Well,
what do you want to do on it?
How much are you willing to spend?
No. Here's what it is. Here's what I was going to say. So he starts, before he asked me what I want to do on it, he says, okay, this is the basic one that sells for whatever, $324 or something. I don't know if the price is right but it comes with 32 gigabytes of RAM, but you can upgrade it to 128 or whatever,
right,
for $100. So now I'm up to 425.
And this is the basic. You're at the basic.
I'm at the basic unit.
iPad.
I went from whatever, it was like 325 up to 425. Then the next one up is the iPad Air.
Okay, this is
thinner, lighter.
This is where it gets interesting.
It's thinner, it's lighter, it's slightly bigger screen.
Yeah.
It's got a higher end processor in it, and it comes with 64 gigabytes of RAM.
Base model. Of the Air.
Yeah. So all things, he says, it's got a little bit of better camera. It's got a little bit better screen. The picture is sharper, whatever. I couldn't tell any difference, but I'll take his word for it. So anyway, I wound up get the Air because by the time I figured it out, I'm up to 420, and the iPad Air was like 470 or something.
Yeah.
So you're going to spend 420 or four. So for another $50,
you got that much more.
I got all this other extra stuff.
You can take 64 gigs, you said? 64 gigabytes?
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
And this one had 32.
Okay.
Now, when
so
he
you
was,
doubled, yeah.
I doubled it. And when he looked at it, he said I only had about 5 gig left on this anyway.
Really? Yeah. So what do you, was it pictures? Music?
Yeah,
what
it's probably, it's, I don't think there's that, maybe there's pictures on it. It's not music. It's probably, I don't know if it's the apps that I have. It's probably,
oh,
could be the apps.
Yeah, I suppose so.
And
yeah.
I got a lot of junk apps on there that I don't, I really don't use. I should get rid of them.
I guess you can fill up 32 gig, yeah, without too much trouble.
Yeah, I figured if it took me all this time to fill up 25 plus gig, and I've got 64. I'll
be
a long time.
Well, okay. Now, isn't there an iPad Pro?
Yes, there is.
What does that do?
That's for gaming
and
you know, graphics.
Yeah.
And so it's really that's.
Sounds like the Air was in Dr. Jim's wheelhouse, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. He wanted to know if I do a lot of gaming. Well, like to play checkers.
Solitaire.
Just play some chess.
Word games.
Play Monopoly with my granddaughter.
He's a big gamer.
I'm a big gamer. I love my games.
No, when I go in and you hear the spiel, I'm like you. I probably would buy the iPod Air. However, if I look at what I really do, I could get the iPad Basic or whatever they call it and be just perfectly happy with that. I wouldn't. The process. Well, the processor. I wouldn't.
You wouldn't know.
I wouldn't notice.
No.
I don't think I've ever taken a picture with my iPad, but I know I would have spent the extra money. And said, well, you know, maybe I'll get into this.
You're
now.
A gadget guy.
I am.
I have a hard time resisting.
I love
buying
gadgets.
The latest.
Well,
and
I love gadgets.
I see. I'm not a gadget guy. I'm a caveman, but I also go buy something with the idea that I'm never going to buy another one. So I figured,
this is your last iPad?
Oh, I see.
I always figured this. I thought this is my last iPad. Now this is my last iPad.
Okay.
So I figured, you know, I got to figure what makes. If I was a person who bought them like every time the new version came out.
That's Dave.
Well, no, an iPad, there's some things I do that. But not an iPad.
Yeah. So Anyway, then they want to sell you the eye, the protection or whatever on it.
Right.
I never buy that stuff. No. They want another $70 for Apple Care or something like
that. 2 year warranty.
For 2 years of.
Right, right.
I take
You know, just
chances.
Bring it
yeah,
in.
It's insurance. You're buying insurance.
You're buying insurance, yeah. Right. So then I figured, well, I'll just get a case for it, you know. Yeah. So I looked at what they had for cases.
They're not cheap either.
I didn't go for a case there. I went over to Best Buy and I got this thing.
Yeah.
It still was $60.
Oh,
well, anyway, that's been my my most recent venture out of doors.
Well, we tried to avoid the topic for a couple shows, but it's unavoidable sometimes.
The Trumpster. Yep.
Yeah, he's.
You guys thinking?
Just when I thought he had, you know, he kind of plateaued, he's.
He's come up.
He's found a whole new level.
Yes. So what do you think?
About what?
Well, all right.
About which
okay,
part?
Okay, so last March you and I talked, and I thought he would get impeached or they'd move forward. You didn't think so. Now that they've moved forward. Now, officially, all they've done right now is open an investigation.
Correct.
Okay, they're seeing if they're going to impeach, I think, is what this is doing. Okay, so this could be a lot of theater.
Well, I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to create this wave of guilt, predisposition to have him judged guilty.
They want the country to judge him guilty.
They want the country to judge him.
Yes, I agree.
And to clamor for this investigation. And, like, they want to be, Adam Schiff wants to be able to get up there and say, well, I don't know, we really don't want to impeach him, but the people are asking us, and so on and so forth. Right, that kind of thing.
Right.
That ain't ever going to happen, but this is what they're, now, this whole thing is to somehow get that groundswell demanding his impeachment.
Right.
So I still think it's 50-50. No, it's more than, I'd say it's more than 50-50. I'd say it's 65-35.
That he gets impeached?
That he gets impeached.
Do you? Really? I don't think it's that high.
Okay. I'm trying to.
Impeached means.
The House is going to.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, the Senate could then squash it. Yeah.
Right. Right. So I think that's good. I wanted to say it's 50-50, but I said I may be being naive. Everybody will think it's probably more than that because that's the way it's being played up.
The way I look at it right now is that what he's being accused of using the foreign aid to get another country to do his bidding.
Right.
Simply put, right?
Right.
Well, to do his bidding, but that's not I don't know that that's sufficient or enough to.
But,
it's round out do his bidding to help him in an upcoming election.
Right.
Against an opponent.
Okay, true, right.
That's
yes.
That's an important part, I
right.
think.
Right, okay. Don't you think that that kind of stuff goes on all the time with foreign aid?
And everyone knows that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why, okay.
Quid pro quo? I bet you that's been happening since the dawn of time.
Yeah, I'm not defending it, but I just don't see at this point where it's we should be going through all this. Other than,
well,
I don't
well,
like...
Well, the reason why we're doing it is because the Russian thing fell flat on its face.
Right.
Every attempt they've tried to get his butt thrown out of office has failed, and here's where they had this glimmer of hope, and that's why it's, you know...
And I think you're right. I think that's ultimately, you know, what they say is true. From the day he was elected, they started they were impeaching him in, you know, at the end of November
before he was sworn in.
You're right.
Yeah.
So that's true. But, you know, and you're right, this kind of thing goes on all the time. But see, he's his own worst enemy. He does the way he does this is so ham-handed.
Yes.
That this is, people do this all the time, but the president does not call up the president of XYZ and say, hey, buddy, you play ball with us or you ain't getting any money.
Right.
And by the way, you got to help me with this little problem I got.
Right.
So I think it's his incompetence in how to deal with this is what's really caused this to come up. That's why experienced politicians know how to do this. They do it.
They do it through back channels.
They get away with it.
They do it and get away with it. So it's because there's no fingerprints. Not me. I know nothing.
Well, and you've heard the Biden and his son. Biden was over in the Ukraine.
Right.
And wanted the prosecutor fired.
Yep.
At the time. And they were going to hold up the aid, and I know Barack, and Barack won't. I don't see what the difference is.
I don't see any difference.
I don't see the difference. Other than it's not a political. You weren't trying to damage a candidate,
right?
But you're still. It's still pretty unseemly.
It's quid
pro quo for something that you want.
Right.
You think now you may have the best of motives. You know, I'm not just for the sake of argument. Let's say his motive was. Oh, we got to help the Ukraine clean up their corruption. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to you guys got to straighten this out, because if you don't do this, you're doomed as a country, and so on and so forth. I could see it making that argument. But it sounds like it doesn't get much traction with people. I mean, Biden's son is getting paid $80,000 a month for consulting. What does he speak Ukrainian? I mean, he got some magic cue ball that gives him?
And I don't know whether he's a big energy expert.
Energy expert, international finance.
Right?
Is he is he a Goldman Sachs consultant?
Right.
Goldman Sachs / Exxon consultant. I mean, I don't understand.
No,
it's so apparent.
It is apparent, and it happens all the time. And
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
It's just with that at that level, I can do it, and I can take care of my kid, and I'll do it, or myself. I'll take care of myself.
And not only that, not only can you do it, and you know how to do it. You know how to do it in a way that there's no blowback.
Right.
You know, and then this guy comes along and he's astounding to me. He is untrainable.
He is he's uncoachable and trainable.
I mean,
can't keep Twitter away from
him. The guy is, he has so much going for him, but he is just incompetent.
But I don't think he's changed since day one. This is the way he's been.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's our boy Donald.
Yeah. And you're right. If he would just concentrate on the good things that he's – and there are some good things that he's done. If he would just concentrate on those things, he would be
– All he has to do – he doesn't even have to not do things. He could do what he did in the Ukraine. Just don't do it with a meat cleaver.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what I mean by competence. It's not, I don't know what it is. It's just amazing.
It's astounding.
It's like, you know, you see a girl you like, and you like to go out with her and everything else like that, you know, and then you're picking her up to, you know, go out someplace, nice dinner, have a good time, and you say to her, are you going to wear that? That dress makes you look fat. What? What'd I say?
maybe that's it. He's brutally honest.
Brutally honest. And honestly...
Honest, though. Honest could be debated as well.
Well, brutal. Maybe he's brutal.
No,
he's
that's
brutal.
Honest. This is the thing, too. I can say this without even one iota of hesitation. He lies 100% of the time. He cannot speak without lying.
He's a pathological liar.
Whether it's, he just can't. So, for instance, they knock off
isn't
this guy.
The definition of a politician, though?
No. A politician, this is again a competency thing. If you want to be an effective liar, you got to tell the truth 99% of the time.
Yeah.
So that when you lie, people believe you.
Yeah.
See, the beauty of Trump, now I say he lies 100% of the time, but that's also an attribute in his case, because you're never deceived. If you believe him, you deserve what you get.
He's like a magician's hat. You never know what's going to come out of his mouth.
Anyway, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but the latest classic example to me is when they knock off this ISIS guy, right?
Right.
And he can't take a victory lap without saying, and he was weeping and crying, and he was whimpering.
He was like a dog, didn't he?
Like a dog. Like a dog. Yeah. He died like a dog.
Jeez.
So I say, Donald, just take the win.
All right.
It's like he couldn't take the win.
That's good. I got it. Right.
You got to watch every time he speaks. I'm saying it.
How do you know when Donald Trump's lying? When his lips are moving?
Oh, he is like the. It's not even like they used to say that about a politician, right. But it was an exaggeration because sometimes they wouldn't lie. If they're smart, they wouldn't lie all the time.
But it's 100% of the time.
But he lies 100% of the time. So it's pointless.
This is going to be a great wall. It's impenetrable, right?
That's right.
Great wall. No one will ever.
Greatest wall. And Mexico's going to pay for it. And none of the rapists and murderers are going to get into the country. And drug dealers are going to be able to get into the country after we build this wall.
We got Coach on the line. Hey, Coach, you're going to really enjoy this show. Dr. Jim went on a Trump rampage just a few minutes ago. So, yes, he did.
He doesn't have much to work with.
I know. I was up all night, Coach.
But you'll enjoy this one, Coach.
Yeah, good. Good.
Hey, I hear you've got a book review for us.
I do. It's a biography on Wilt Chamberlain.
Wilt the Stilt. So what was the number, Coach? 10,000? 20,000? What's the number you
well,
surmise?
A guy, you know, actually, what he made that comment when he was out promoting an autobiography in the early 90s. It was called A View from Above. And one of his friends said that, you know, he calculated, and then when they broke it down, if it was 20,000, he made the comment about 20,000.
Sleeping with 20,000 women, for the listeners who don't know what we're talking.
It broke down to over a 40-year period, 1.5 women a day.
Yeah. Well, you know, in how old was he when he started? That was the other thing. When you ciphered, he'd have to start like at like 12 years old.
Well, it depends on how you calculated it, but one calculation had him starting at 14.
Okay.
But then some of his high school and a couple of college teammates said that they thought he was a virgin, you know, into his college years. So.
Well, he must have. Then he got active.
Anyways, the book was written by a guy named Robert Cherry, who was, he's written a couple other books not related to sports, but he was actually from Philadelphia, went to the same high school as Wilt Chamberlain did, although he was about 6 or 7 years younger. And so it traces, you know, from that he was born in 36. He was one of 11 children. And both of his parents, he's a fourth child, both of his parents were just average height. Like, I think his dad was 5'9", and his mom was about 5'6". His closest sibling was a younger sister, Barbara was her name, and she's actually the one that, you know, one of his nicknames was the Big Dipper. And he actually did not like the nickname Wilt the Still, for whatever reason, but she named him Dippy because when he got into high school, and he was almost 7 feet tall, he would have to, you know, dip his head to get through the doorway. And she started calling him Dippy, and then it developed into the Big Dipper. And there's another take on that a little later in the book. So he went to school in high school in Philadelphia, and then he went to college at University of Kansas. He started there in 56, but back then the freshmen were not eligible to play, so he didn't play on the varsity his freshman year. But his sophomore year, they went to the finals, and he lost by 2 points to North Carolina, who was coached by Frank McGuire, who ended up coaching Wilt later in the pros. And then his junior year, they had lost some players, and he had gotten hurt. He used to really get pounded on because he was so big that the refs would not call the fouls that they would call would normally, because he could take such a pounding because he was so big and strong. Mm-hmm. And he did not, I mean, he had a long fuse. He did not retaliate. They said, I guess in his junior year, he developed, there's a medical term for it, but it was basically swollen testicles. And they said he got elbowed, you know, in the groin. But there was another rumor that it actually had a dose of the clap, and some of the wags on campus started calling him the Big Dripper that year. So,
anyway. You didn't make that up, did you, Coach?
No, that was actually in the book. But that year they didn't win their conference, and so they didn't make it to the, back then only the conference champ could make it to the tournament. So his senior year, he didn't play. He left school, but he couldn't go into the NBA because they had a rule that your class had to graduate. So he played for the Harlem Globetrotters for a year. Then after that, he went to it was called the Philadelphia Warriors in 59, and he played there till 65. In 62 is when he scored the 100 points, the only man who ever scored 100 points in a pro game. And it was against the Knicks, and it was in a game that they played in Hershey, Pennsylvania. You know, they would move some of these games around to try and gain interest in the league. And he was a terrible free throw shooter. He's like a 50% free throw shooter, but that night he scored 28 points on free throws. And
I wonder how many free throw shots he took.
I think it was like 28 to 32 or something. What? Yeah, he was a real high percentage. And that year he averaged 50 points a game, which is just kind of mind-boggling.
He was a giant among boys, wasn't he?
Giant among giants.
Yeah.
And then they moved the team out to San Francisco. Then he got traded back to another team in Philadelphia that was started by the previous owner of the Warriors, and it was called the 76ers.
Mm-hmm.
67 is when he won the first championship. And, you know, he and Bill Russell would go, you know, they had a long stretch there where they would battle for the finals, and Bill Russell won like 7 out of 8. And so he had gotten a reputation that he was labeled a loser, but you know, I guess the truth be told, because he was dominant in those series in terms of points and rebounds, but Boston just had such a good team, and Bill Russell was the consummate team player, you know. Anyways, he got traded to the Lakers in 68, so he played on that 1972, they won the championship. When he retired, he started, he was one of the founders of this professional volleyball league. He loved
volleyball, I remember that,
And
with his headband.
Yeah, and he also sponsored a lot of track and field athletes, because when he went to Kansas, he participated in track and field too. The high jump and the triple jump, and you know, he was really fast. He was the fastest guy on the team. In his younger years, he could really, you know, he had that long stride, and he could really get up and down the floor.
Wow.
Just a terrific athlete.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. He was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I look at, like, those old clips of when he played. Even at Kansas, they'd show him running down the floor, on a fast break, he'd be bringing the ball up the floor. He was just, like you're saying, he was just like a freak of nature.
He really was. Unreal.
Yeah. Well, you know, getting back to the conversation about the woman, he never married. You know, he's a career bachelor, lifelong bachelor, didn't have any kids. But he died, you know, because these people that are big like that, they don't tend to live very long. He was only 63 when he died
in
1999.
A little more stress on the heart kind of thing.
But when he made that comment, you know, about the women, I guess it caused him all kinds of endorsements. It was in 91, and he had a contract with American Express and Volkswagen, and he lost a lot of those endorsements. But he was real smart with money. He did real well with investments.
So he didn't die a poor man, is what you're saying.
No. He had this, he called it Ursa Major. I think it's named after one of the constellations. And it was like a mini Playboy Mansion, and I think when he died, his estate was worth about $5.5 million. Oh. And again, this is in '99.
Yeah.
So he did, and he gave a lot of money away. He did. He gave a lot of money to University of Kansas. He gave some money to and some other things, some other charities. So, but it was a good book. It started out, you know, I thought that the guy was going to be a little more insightful. It had a good flavor to it. It wasn't just like stats and facts, but I thought it would be a little more insight into him as a person, you know.
More of his career.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, you read it, and, you know, it's documented all the – he still holds about 73 records in the NBA.
No kidding.
Well, he really – you think back then, when he was really the face of the NBA.
Yeah.
When you think about it. I mean, because they – remember they were playing – they'd have the double headers. They'd have four teams and different teams playing, and they were just trying to get some traction. And
right.
You had Wilt the Stilt.
Yeah. And he was a striking looking guy too, right? He's a good looking guy.
Yeah, when he was interviewed, you hear him talk. He was a really bright man.
Yeah,
I mean he wasn't.
Yeah,
and he was
cool.
Not.
Yeah, I guess he loved to play backgammon. You know, he's a real thinker, and he's very competitive. Very competitive.
Yeah, he was not in any way confrontational or
no.
Never got, you're right, he had a very long fuse. He never got into a fight. I mean, they would, even in the NBA, they would put, you know, those guys would hammer him. And he never fouled out of a game.
Wow.
I got a little aside for you. It'll bring a smile to your face and show you how naive I was.
Hey, I've been smiling ever since Mike gave me the comment about your Trump commentary.
Okay. Well, this will be the cherry on top, as they say. So I was in elementary school at the time. I was a young kid, and I was just really starting to become interested in, you know, sports.
Girls.
And
oh, I thought you were going to tell us a Will Chamberlain story.
So, well, it's there is a connection, but not the one you'd imagine. So I used to look at Wilt, and I used to look at his stats, and he was what a phenomenal performer he was and everything else like that. And then, you know, they talked about how big he was, and he was 7'1" and everything. And I used to say, yeah, he's a great basketball player, man. That's really – he's a phenomenal athlete. You know, I feel sorry for him. A guy that big, he must not be able to get a date.
Yeah, you know what? I think one of the classic sports comments was when, you know, he would say, "Nobody roots for Goliath." You know.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, you think about the two guys, Will and both he and Kareem, both they changed the rules to try and make the game more fair for other players. Like they widened the lane and the offensive goaltending, you know, for Wilt, and then Kareem, where they outlawed the dunk in college. And I mean, when they change the rules to make things even up for everybody else, tells you how dominant you are.
Yeah, what an impact they were.
Yep,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Good stuff, Coach.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. I mean, again, that's when I grew up in the '60s.
Same here.
Early '70s, and you know, following. Following all that. So,
yeah. My dad used to get Sport Magazine, and any article on Wilt Chamberlain, I'd read that right up. Hey, by the way, what's the name of the book and who's the author? Do you have that?
The guy's name is Robert Cherry. I think it's just called Wilt, and there's a tagline after it. So.
Well, with that, Coach, I think time to sign off.
All right. Well, we haven't heard from Kim in a while. You know, he's been kind of quiet.
Can we sleep?
No, I keep those eyes open because he...
Can I close one of them?
No.
No.
Because he's going to want to make a statement because nobody's paying attention to him.
Oh,
this is right when he does something crazy.
You're predicting.
Well,
you're
if history...
repeats itself?
If history holds, both eyes.
Oh, man. Little pent up.
Did you get that? He really.
Try it again, but I'm going to stand back.
I don't know.
Watch it, Coach.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, man.
Wow, that was a.
The studio's still here. Don't worry, Coach. We're still here.
Forgot to duck and cover on that one.
Oh, wow. And Dr. Jim,
well,
do you have more Zen for us?
I do. I understand that the maybe a few people thought my previous Zen saying was a head-scratcher, but that's what Zen is. That's what it's supposed to be. It's
makes
supposed
you scratch
to be,
your head?
You're supposed, it could be. It could be. You're supposed to look into the meaning, and by looking into the meaning, you gain insights. You may not understand what I said, but something will happen.
So Trump is Zen? Is that what Dr. Jim's saying?
Well, it could be. He could be the ultimate Zen.
Zen master.
Zen master. Okay, I'll try this one. This one is, I think it's good, but it might be a little more acceptable or little something that's got a little more meaning to people. Okay, here it is. It's, again, this is from D.T. Suzuki.
D.T. Suzuki.
D.T. Suzuki.
Not to be confused with.
Another Suzuki. Okay, here it is. Okay, and, all right, here goes now. From D.T. Suzuki. Emptiness, which is conceptually liable to be mistaken for sheer nothingness, is in fact the reservoir of infinite possibilities.
Wow. Larry the drummer thinks you've been drinking too much sake.
All right, Coach.
Top that.
Well, try to top that, Coach.
All I can do is remind everybody that there's something to be said for brevity. Keep the rubber side down.
Always tasteful. Right. And appropriate.
You got another sign-off sound there, or what? All right, Coach.
All right, Coach. All right.
We'll catch you next time.
See ya.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, Jim. Bye.
Bye. If you can find a better podcast, listen to it.